Some of the wealthiest investors in history made their fortunes not from investing in stocks, but from this particular asset class. In today's episode, we're diving into why this asset class matters more than ever in today's market, especially if you're approaching retirement. So for the sake of time, let's dive right into it. Well, welcome back, listeners of the Wealth Decisions Podcast and any new listeners out there. We're going to be talking about ways to earn attractive yields on your investments while protecting your wealth from market volatility. And today we're tackling a question I get all the time from clients. Brian, do I really need bonds in my portfolio? And let me tell you, in today's market environment, this question is more relevant than ever. If you had some investments in fixed income investments, whether it's in the U.S. or international in different types of bonds, your portfolio would have gone down much less during the market volatility. And even when you look back to other periods of drawdowns, like the COVID crisis or the financial crisis, or even back in the tech boom and bust. If you're planning to retire in the next 3 to 5 years, it's especially important to have an appropriate asset allocation. I remember seeing recently someone post something about their husband having to postpone their retirement because of the recent drop with all the tariff situation that is going on right now in our markets. That to me is an example of someone that doesn't have an appropriate allocation for someone that's going to retire this year. If all of your money is in the stock market, because you have a number in your head of where you want your portfolio to be when you retire, you could be making a big mistake. Having fixed income investments in your portfolio is a way to protect the wealth that you've built up so far and ensure that you can retire and stay comfortably retired. But I get a lot is individuals saying, well, bonds are boring. Well, after a lot of the volatility we've seen over the years, some investors have learned the hard way that boring can actually be beneficial when it comes to preserving your wealth. So let's just break down why bonds matter, especially as you approach retirement. First of all, think of your portfolio kind of like a car. You know, stocks are the acceleration pedal and they help grow your wealth. Well, bonds, they're kind of like the brakes. And you don't want to drive a car without brakes. You shouldn't manage a retirement portfolio without bonds. Bonds are an important part of a portfolio because they reduce volatility and they provide an income stream. So here's a key principle. As you get closer to retirement, you have less time to recover from major market downturns. This is where bonds come in, and they really have three main benefits. Number one, income generation. Unlike most stocks, except dividend-producing stocks, bonds provide predictable income through regular, interest payments. And they call these coupons. You don't hear it very often, but if you buy an individual bond, you get a coupon, and that interest payment is paid to you either semi-annually or annually. You know, imagine getting a paycheck every 6 months, regardless of what the market is doing. Number two, bonds provide some type of capital preservation. You know, when the stock market is tumbling, high-quality bonds or investment-grade bonds often maintain their value or possibly even increase in price as investors seek safety. There's not a complete negative correlation with stocks versus bonds, but it is a correlation that does provide some really nice diversification because stocks don't always move up and down in value the same way. So having a less correlated asset and something that can preserve your capital when we do have downturns, it's like having insurance for your portfolio. And number three, you get reduced volatility. If you're going to take an income stream of 5% from your portfolio in retirement, well, you need to have less volatility. And bonds typically fluctuate less in value than stocks. And that's going to help you sleep at night better, knowing your retirement savings aren't on a roller coaster ride like they have been this year. But let's talk just a little bit about, you know, how to implement some type of bond strategy in today's global market. And this is where ETFs or exchange-traded funds can become your best friend. You certainly could go out and buy individual bonds and ladder the maturities in short-term and intermediate-term and long-term and different types of bonds like corporate bonds or government agencies or treasury bonds. Or you could buy a core fixed income ETF or a core bond ETF. And instead of buying individual international bonds, for instance, which are really tough to do, you can invest in an ETF that holds a diverse basket of bonds from multiple countries. And just like investing in stocks, you don't want to have all of your fixed income exposure just in the U.S. The yields in different countries sometimes are much higher and more attractive, especially in some of those emerging market economies. And this just gives you that instant diversification and professional management at a low cost, investing in some type of core fixed income ETF. So here's just a practical framework that I use with clients. For international bond exposure, consider splitting your bond allocation into three buckets. Maybe it's putting 60% in domestic bonds through a total bond market ETF. Maybe putting 30% in developed international market bonds, and then 10% in some type of emerging market debt or bonds for higher yield potential. But let's just look at like how this would work in a different potential allocation. You know, if you have $500,000 portfolio and want a 40% bond allocation, that's $200,000 in bonds. Using that framework, you'll have $120,000 that'll go into domestic bonds in some type of core ETF, $60,000 in developed international bonds, and $20,000 in some type of emerging market debt ETF. When you have a portion of your portfolio in fixed income investments, it can really buffer a decline when we have these corrections or even bear markets. Let's just say, for instance, that you have a 60-40 split, 60% in the stock market and different ETFs and 40% in fixed income ETFs. If the market drops 10%, a typical 60-40 split may go down about 6%. Now, that really depends on the makeup of the portfolio, but by having some in fixed income, you're going to buffer that decline by nearly half. If we have a 20% drop, your portfolio may go down by about 12%. Much less to recover from, and a much better situation if you're approaching retirement and we have a major market drop. So having the right mix for your particular stage of life, your risk tolerance, and your goals is going to be crucial, especially when you're approaching retirement. Should you have bonds when you're in your 30s or 40s? It all depends upon when you want to retire and what your particular income needs are going to be. I typically don't recommend investors in their 20s, 30s, or 40s have exposure to bonds. But if you are a more conservative investor and do not have a very high risk tolerance, having some bonds in your portfolio is just going to smooth the ride out a little bit for you and help you reach your goals. Maybe in a little bit slower way, but in a way that'll help you sleep at night a little bit better. So before we wrap up, here are three actionable steps for you this week. Review your current bond allocation. If you're within 10 years of retirement, consider gradually increasing it to at least 40% of your portfolio by the time you retire. Now, that's all dependent on your specific situation. If you don't need to take a 5% withdrawal from your portfolio and only need 2 or 3% to meet your income needs on top of your pension or Social Security or other income sources, you may not need to have 40% in fixed income assets. So sit down with a financial advisor and determine the best strategy to get your portfolio aligned as you approach retirement. Number two, look into bond ETFs that provide international exposure or core fixed income exposure or investment grade fixed income exposure in the US. You know, some popular options out there track indexes of government and corporate bonds from developed and emerging markets, as well as domestic type bonds. Remember to compare expense ratios and the yields. Don't just search for yield. If a ETF has a yield of 6.5%, 7%, 8%, the quality of the bonds are going to be much, much lower than investment grade. Some of that exposure may be in what's called junk bonds. So be careful not to stretch and look for yield. In today's environment, a good corporate bond ETF should yield somewhere around 5 to 6%. If it's higher than that, they're buying junk bonds or they potentially are using leverage to enhance their returns. If it's a government bond fund or ETF, it probably should yield somewhere around 3.5% to 4.5%. So remember to compare the expense ratios and don't search for just yield. And number three, schedule a portfolio review with a financial advisor to discuss, you know, implementing some type of bond ladder strategy if you have enough money invested where you can buy individual bonds, or to help you build a fixed income part of your portfolio. And this is going to help manage interest rate risk and get you broad world allocation while providing some regular income. Just always remember that building wealth isn't just about growing your money. It's also about protecting what you've already accumulated. Bonds might not be the most exciting investment, but they're often the unsung heroes in a successful retirement portfolio. So that's it for today's episode. Do you have bonds in your investment portfolio? Would love if you pre-ordered my new book, Momentous Decisions, 7 Steps to Better Health, More Wealth, and a Richer Life. This has been a long lifetime goal of mine to put out a book. It's everything I've learned about habit change, health, wealth, and life, all wrapped up in one book with a 7-step plan to help you live a life closer to exceptional. If you'd like to pick up a copy of the book, you can go to momentouswealthadvisors.com/book. And at the bottom of that page, there'll be a pre-order link, and it'll be out sometime in early August. And if you like this episode, please rate the episode, make some comments, and hit the notification bell to get updated on future Wealth Decision podcasts. And please, if you could, share it with a family member or a friend. My goal with the Wealth Decisions podcast is to reach over 100,000 people by the end of the year in the Twin Cities and beyond, so that people can make better wealth decisions to live a richer life. If you'd like to schedule a discovery call with me, you can go to my website at momentouswealthadvisors.com, and I'll spend some time to get to know you a little bit and find out if I might be able to steer you in the right direction or help you with your financial future. And once again, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.